Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know?
Yes, we did. We started to burn many things we found. That's the wonderful Dar Williams with Pete Seeger and David Burns singing the Solartopia song. It was on the Grammy-winning album Tomorrow's Children, sung with the Rivertown Kids. Always a pleasure to hear that. Never get tired of it, which is a good thing because we play it every week. This is Harvey Wasserman talking to you from the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show. I am in Central Ohio. Our wonderful studio is in New York City. Great people working there. And then we have some guests from California. We are going to talk again this hour about the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant and nuclear power plants in general. I want to start by saying I have put up a piece, Ohio's anti-green suicide. It is at our website on the PRN site. It's also originates at the EcoWatch.com site, EcoWatch.com, and is circulating around the internet now. It's about this insane situation in Ohio. Ohio has become the mecca of anti-green corporate control, and it's just driving us all crazy and doing serious harm. The governor of Ohio, John Kasich, when he came in 2010, his first act was to kill restored passenger rail service in Ohio. We had a $400 million grant from the federal government to restore passenger rail service between Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati, and John Kasich's first official act, or among them, was to kill this project that would have finally gotten train service from Columbus to Cleveland and to Cincinnati, and by there with connections to New York, Chicago, Washington, St. Louis, you name it. But Columbus, Ohio, where I live in Central Ohio, remains one of the largest, if not the largest, capital city in all of the Western world without transportation, rail transportation. The governor claims he's a pro-jobs kind of maverick guy, but killed hundreds of jobs by killing this rail line. And now the state has also turned around. We had passed in 2008 a very progressive green energy program full of targets and goals and facilitation of the influx of wind power and solar power into Ohio, a major $2 billion project proposed for wind power, $500 million solar facility for southern Ohio, and the legislature, which is owned and operated by the Koch brothers and the fossil fuel industry, killed that. They also, I love these guys who say they're in favor of a free market economy and then do everything in their power to subsidize major monopolies. The Tesla, the electric car company, which is a maverick company, was setting up to sell Tesla automobiles in Ohio, and the state legislature intervened and limited their ability to set up shop in Ohio because they don't want electric cars competing with gas cars, because the gas companies, the automobile companies, and the gasoline industry pays the legislators, gives them the campaign donations so that they can keep getting into office. And astonishingly, just, you know, there's just no end to the hypocrisy of these people. They claimed that Tesla was unfair in its competition because they weren't setting up service shops, neglecting to mention that electric cars don't require the same kind of service that gasoline-driven cars do. They don't have oil changes. They don't have spark plugs. They don't have a lot of things, which is one of the reasons why the future belongs to electric cars. And now, and this is to top it all off, this one is hard to even begin to enunciate. I do have a piece about it at ecowatch.com, and it's spreading around the Internet. It's a PRN-FM. The First Energy, the major utility company, the private utility company in Northern Ohio, has gone into the Public Utilities Commission and demanded $3 billion, $3 billion to subsidize two 50-year-old coal-burning power plants and the most dangerous nuclear plant probably in all the world, the Davis-Bessey reactor, which is completely barely held together by duct tape and baling wire. This is a reactor that had two of the five worst NRC listed accidents since 1979, has had a spill of boric acid onto its lid that ate almost all the way through it and nearly brought us Chernobyl on the lake, continues to spew out radioactive poisons on itself on the for God's sakes. Yes, we have with us two great guests we're going to talk to. My Skype has a mind of its own and goes in and out at least once a show. From California, we have Jim Heddle and Mary Beth Brangen from the Eon filmmakers, and Linda Seeley from the Mothers for Peace in San Luis Obispo. That's are you guys with us?
My line got cut off.
I am.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Jim said that his line was cut off.
Well, we can hear you fine.
Okay, he can call back in to the other line.
Yes, and no, you need to talk on the same line.
Oh, we need to talk on the same line. Okay, hold on.
And Linda Seeley, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh,
uh-huh.
Good, Linda. Hi.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi.
I'll go tell Jim to call in or pick up.
Okay, so Linda Seeley, you are in San Luis Obispo. I've just talked about the situation at the in Ohio with the rollback of green energy and green technologies. And I wanted to talk to you now about Diablo Canyon. You are near Diablo Canyon. You live near Diablo Canyon.
I do. 11 miles from it.
You have been fighting Diablo Canyon for, we won't reveal your age, but you've been fighting Diablo Canyon since at least the 1980s. I guess you were arrested there in 1981, is that right?
84,
along with me.
Yes,
and
sir.
So we now have a full-court press going on in California to mm-hmm. shut the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. And can you talk to us a little bit about that and tell us what's upcoming in terms of the conference that's being planned?
Well, we are we've been planning for a couple of months, a meeting of Nuclear Free California, which is a group that formed 4 years ago after Fukushima. Our first meeting was held in San Mateo in August, I think it was, of 2011. And this is now going to be our fifth meeting of Nuclear Free California. And it's a very loosely knit kind of affiliation of different groups and individuals who are really focused on shutting down nuclear power in California. We scored with San Onofre, as you know, Harvey, and we have one nuke left standing in California, and we want to make it go down. It's way too dangerous to keep the Diablo Canyon running. It's built at the intersection of 13 earthquake faults. It's old. The pipes, the electrical connections, the cement. It was started in 1969, went online in 1984, and now, let's see, by my reckoning, that's around 50 years old.
Well, not way, from way back when. If it began operating in 1984, now 30 years old. It's been operating for 30 years.
Yeah, however, some of the parts are 50 years old.
And the design is 50 years old.
And the cement is 50 years old.
Yeah. Okay. So some of the cement was poured 50 years ago. Yes, and cement does deteriorate, especially under radiation and with all the temperature changes and things like that
and
in
salt.
California. Now, I do want to mention one issue that's come up, and I want to start with this issue because it's a generic issue to numerous other nuclear plants around the country, which is the question of cooling towers. Now, this is what's happening at many nuclear reactors, including the two at Diablo Canyon, is that nuclear power plants spew into the ocean billions of gallons of very hot water because the reactors themselves are extremely inefficient and can't make use of all the quantities of heat that are being generated by this controlled nuclear bomb that we call nuclear power plants. So many of these reactors that are dumping in hot water into the oceans, the lakes, the rivers, and the bays are overheating the natural environment and are exceeding standards put forward by the Clean Air Act and by many state regulations on nuclear power effluent. That includes Diablo Canyon. It also includes the Oyster Creek reactor in New Jersey. Now, at Oyster Creek, the state went after the operators of Oyster Creek, which is the oldest reactor in the country now, and, you know, totally falling apart, like so many of them. And they demanded, they required that the owners of Oyster Creek come up with cooling towers to turn the excess hot water into steam so they wouldn't be dumping it directly into Barnegat Bay or into the bay there at Oyster Creek. And what happened then was that the utility came in and cut a deal.
Was there an Eve, or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Okay, Skype has kicked out again. I'm going to switch over to a phone. So if you'll pick up the phone, please, that would be great.
Solar-topia, don't you know we're going to have a solar-topia,
solar-topia. Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a solar-topia, solar-topia, solar-topia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solar-topia all over God's green world.
Well, we multiplied, we needed more. The rich got rich, the poor got sore. The fuel ran scarce, the price jumped high, and so they gave nuclear power a try.
Don't you know we're gonna have a solar-topia, solar-topia, solar-topia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solar-topia all over God's green world.
But the nuclear plants were built in haste, with too many risks and no place for waste. And so from Seabrook to Shoreham Town, we have to shut those new plants down. But
don't you know we're gonna have a solar-topia, solar-topia, solar-topia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solar-topia all over God's green world.
Now we're fighting wars over oil. No matter who wins, it will not last. The earth is scarred, the planet is warming. Don't you think that all of it's a great big warning?
Don't you know we're gonna have a solar-topia, solar-topia, solar-topia.
Yes, hello?
Hello.
Hi, Harvey.
All right,
Harvey,
we're back.
We're waiting
Skype,
on the...
I'm not going to do Skype anymore on this show. This
we're
is
waiting
like the,
on the
40th time it's kicked out on me. So let's keep talking here. I am sent the number into the studio.
Okay.
So we're talking about the cooling towers and the
deal
at the Oyster Creek.
Right.
Now,
I want to hear about it.
Tell about the situation with the cooling towers at Diablo Canyon.
Okay. Well, we don't have cooling towers, so we are heating up the ocean with that water, just as you described right before you got kicked off the air. And the California State Water Board has given Diablo Canyon a pass on this. It's part of the Clean Water Act that this once through cooling is no longer allowed in any plants in the whole United States. And so they've given Diablo Canyon a pass all these years, and right now I'm getting a big it's reflecting back, or no, echo.
Echo.
Yeah, terrible echo. Hard for me to think. But anyway, there's...
Just keep talking. I can hear you fine.
Oh, you can? Okay. So the State Water Board is now deciding right at this time, and we're going to probably find out in about 2 to 3 months, whether or not they allow Diablo Canyon to still have this pass on building the cooling towers as they're supposed to. The problem is, if they build the cooling towers, it's going to cost around $3 to $4 billion, which PG&E is going to try to pass on to its customers. So it doesn't make economic sense to build the cooling towers, and it doesn't make environmental or safety sense to not have the cooling towers. So the only solution is to shut the dang plant down, because we don't need it. We have 30% extra power in California, and Diablo Canyon provides about 6.5% of that.
So what are the chances that the State Water Board will, in fact, require Diablo Canyon, Pacific Gas and Electric, to build these cooling towers?
I would say very slim.
There you go, Jim. Okay, Jim, I think it's a good chance that they will, so let's have a bet.
Okay, I hope I lose.
I hope you lose.
Well, at least now, what we want, the ideal situation, of course, is for PG&E to figure that they will never recoup the entire investment and decide to close it down because of economic reasons, because that's the only way that any of these nuclear reactors ever get shut down, is for economic considerations.
Well, let's talk about San Onofre. How was San Onofre shut? We won two reactors between L.A. and San Diego. They are now permanently, forever inoperable, even though they're surrounded by huge quantities of nuclear waste. How did we win at San Onofre? And let me emphasize here, now that we're back on a technical track here, that we are talking with Linda Seeley from San Luis Obispo, the Mother for Peace, Mothers for Peace in California, and Jim and Mary Beth from Eon Films in Bolinas, California. And this show is a lead-up to a major conference that will be happening this weekend in San Luis Obispo to plot, to plan, to organize, and to begin to affect the general plan to shut down, force the shutdown of the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant. So how does this all play out in terms of what happened at San Onofre, where we did win?
San Onofre was a combination of the confluence of many factors and different strategies that came together at one point, and I can elucidate them in a minute, to make the investors of Southern California Edison, who owned the majority share of San Onofre, they realized they would never be able to recoup their investment, and that was why they finally threw in the towel. And that was because they knew that they would never get a relicense amendment through in time to offset the cost of replacement power. They had two steam generators that they replaced in a very reckless way because they redesigned them without going through the required licensing amendment process at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And because they didn't have any scrutiny except from the Mitsubishi people and their own Southern California Edison people, engineers, on that, they had extreme problems, and the steam generators failed within less than 2 years of being installed and had a leak. They had to turn them off. They had to close down the reactors and buy replacement power to give to the people in the area that were relying on that electricity. And then because it was there was so much public pressure, they knew that they would not get away with turning it back on again without going through. They would have to have had it relicensed in, I think it was 2022. And they just calculated and realized they would never recoup their losses from, and that it would have been a struggle against public opinion and against the Atomic Safety Licensing Board decision that required them to get a licensing amendment to go forward.
So how do we duplicate this success, this amazing, fantastic shutdown of San Onofre at Diablo Canyon? What's the magic now?
Well, no two situations are the same. So I think, yeah, Linda, you go ahead and lay it out.
Well, the Friends of the Earth have filed a petition in the First District Court of Appeals in D.C. About the original seismic design of the plant and the fact that PG&E this is kind of complicated to actually describe, but what happened is this, that we have new information about the earthquakes at Diablo Canyon, about how severe the ground motion could be, not the Richter scale 7.2 or 6.1, but how much the ground moves that they during an earthquake that they can project in some sort of analysis. So we have a it's not a new earthquake fault, but it was recently discovered, called the Shoreline Fault, discovered in 2009, that's only 500 meters away from the intake structure of Unit 1. And that it is an active major earthquake fault. It's 3 miles from the other earthquake fault, which is the determining earthquake fault for Diablo Canyon. But the PG&E's own analysis showed that if there was an earthquake on the shoreline fault, which hooks up with two other faults that run right behind the plant, that it could cause ground motion that would be greater than the plant's critical backup safety systems are prepared to deal with. Therefore, the critical backup safety systems in an earthquake on these earthquake faults would fail, causing the plant to melt down, because you got to have your backup safety systems if you're going to keep a plant from melting down if you lose your power. So one of PG&E's, or not PG&E, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's own resident inspectors at Diablo Canyon filed a dissenting professional opinion about this decision that was made that did not take into account this very serious information that was revealed about these earthquake faults. And what happened is that the NRC, not only did they move him out of Diablo Canyon and to Chattanooga, Tennessee, as soon as he filed this dissenting opinion, they also took about over 14 months to file a reply to his opinion. And when they did file a reply to it, they completely dismissed everything that he said, acting as if he didn't know what he was talking about. And we have two safety experts. One is Sam Blakesley, who is our former state senator, who also is a PhD geophysicist, who has read the report, the 1,400-page report that PG&E published about these earthquake faults, and says that this is absolutely completely dangerous to keep this plant open right now with the revelations that have been made. So that's a long way to tell you that Friends of the Earth filed about all of this information that I've told you in the First District Court of Appeals. The First District Court of Appeals could order the shutdown of that plant until they can prove that it can safely, that the backup safety equipment can work in the case of an earthquake, which they could never show. So that is why that's our great hope for that.
Well, but you have to have judges that are willing to listen to the voice of reason and sanity as opposed to the dollars of the major corporation here.
There's another dimension to this, too, and that is a possible, unlikely, but possible intervention by Governor Jerry Brown. Uh-huh. You guys probably remember back at the Diablo blockade days, he was so taken by the public outpouring that he flew in by helicopter and made a speech talking about how he was going to close the place down. So he has the power as governor to order the enforcement, as I understand it, of this once-through cooling law, and he so far remained silent on this whole issue.
Right.
Interesting. All right, so we're talking with Jim Heddle and Mary Beth Rangan. They're from Eon Films in Bolinas, and Linda Seeley from the Mothers for Peace in San Luis Obispo County, near the nuclear plant at Diablo Canyon. Nuclear plant. Now,
I want to put in a plug here, Harvey. If people want to know more about how the San Onofre shutdown occurred, they can go to the website for our upcoming documentary called "Shutdown: The California Fukushima Connection," and view our trailer, which goes into some detail about that process. It's that Shutdown Doc, as in documentary, shutdowndoc.tv.
All right, so let's tell people now, we have just a half hour left. We are going to take a short break in a minute with the Solartopia song by Dana Lyons. But we want to talk about the upcoming conference and what we hope to accomplish and what other methods are being looked at to shut the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant. So Linda Seeley and Mary Beth and Jim, if you'll stick with us, hopefully we won't have any more technical problems. I am swearing off Skype for the rest of my life now. But we'll take a short break for just a couple minutes and come back and get into this conference and talk about the other avenues that are going to be discussed for shutting down Diablo Canyon. And we also want to talk a bit about the connection between the cooling tower issue at Diablo Canyon and the one at Turkey Point in Florida, and the Indian Point nuclear plants outside of New York City and also one in New York State. So we will be back in just a moment after Dana sings us the Solartopia song.
Coal plants, new plants, oil refineries, pipelines, mega dams. Nigeria, Venezuela, Kurdistan. Oil spill, meltdown, flooding, suburbia, mudslide, traffic jam. Road rage, asthma, famine, leukemia, it's time to get a better plan. Solartopia is home sweet home to me. Solartopia. hydroplanes get you home in under an hour. Mean air, water, rooftop gardens, tidal geothermal power. Family, community, healthy children, and lots of forest for the bear. Solartopia is home sweet home to me. Solartopia, green powered energy. That's the future for me. Solartopia is home sweet home to me. Solartopia, that's the future for me.
Woo indeed. This is the Solartopia Green Power and Wellness Show, back with Harvey Wasserman and our two guests from California. Our three guests, actually. Linda Seeley from the Mothers for Peace. And
Jim and Mary Beth from Eon in Bolinas.
So let's go back to what we're talking about here. We have a conference coming up in San Luis Obispo. And we are going to be discussing with people from all over the country, but especially from California, how are we going to shut the
nuclear power plant at Diablo Canyon. So, Mary Beth, you've been key to planning this conference. Tell us what's going to happen.
Oh, well, we're having many wonderful speakers, not only from California, but from all over the country. We're having Tim Judson and Diane DiRigo from the Nuclear Information Resource Services in out of Washington, D.C., longtime allies and co-workers, and Damon Moglen, Friends of the Earth, from Washington, D.C. We're having Jerry Brown from the World Business Academy, not Governor Jerry Brown, unfortunately, but Jerry Brown from World Business Academy in Santa Barbara. We're having Harvey Wasserman from Ohio, and we're having Michael Geary from California, former San Diego prosecutor and attorney, and Cynthia Papermaster from Code Pink in San Francisco. We're having Andy Lichterman and Jackie Cabasso from Western States Legal Foundation, and Jane Swanson and Linda, of course, from Mothers for Peace. Also, Donna Gilmore from San Onofre Safety .org, and whose website can give you a lot of additional information about San Onofre, if anybody is curious.
And don't forget Arnie. Yeah.
Oh, Arnie Gunderson will be Skyping in. I hope we have success with it.
From Fairwinds.
From Fairwinds Associates in Vermont. And
also, we're also going to have Paul Guype.
And also Skype. Paul Guype. Exactly, Paul Guype from here in California.
He will be talking about feed-in tariffs.
And so, and other aspects of the renewable situation.
We'll also have guests from Japan.
We have many guests from Japan, yes. We're going to be speaking, and we also have John Bertucci coming from Fukushima Response Campaign, and we also have Chuck Johnson from State of Washington, PSR, for Physicians for Social Responsibility, and who's working on shutting down Columbia Generating Station up there 10 miles from Hanford, as well as Mimi Gurman, Radcast in Portland, Oregon, who is also working on shutting down Columbia Generating Station. So, and
okay, so now,
also loads of folks from all over.
People can find out more about the conference by going to the website nonukesca.net. That's nonukesca.net.
And have you posted the basic agenda there,
Linda?
No, the agenda is not posted. It'll be handed out at the meeting. But the content, the basic content is there.
Jim,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
All right, so what is basically the angle, the best angle? Let's talk about the best angles that we can use to shut these two nuclear plants. These nuclear plants, for all you people who are in California, are upwind of the entire United States. So if, God forbid, there's an accident at Diablo Canyon, the radiation will blow through over the entire continent, North American continent. So this is not just a local issue we're talking about here.
That's right. And I wanted to let you know that tomorrow morning at 9:30 Eastern Time, Friends of the Earth is going to be arguing its case in front of the Atomic Safety and Licensing Board of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in Washington. And their case is about the serious seismic issues at Diablo Canyon. And if the Atomic Safety and Licensing Board agrees to hear their case, then what would happen is that it's possible that the Atomic Safety and Licensing Board would order Pacific Gas and Electric to go through a license amendment, just like they were going to order Southern California Edison to do at San Onofre. And the thing about it is that if you have to go through a license amendment, it brings up all kinds of issues that are never brought up into the conversation at any other time, because then there can be testimony, and you can have expert witnesses, and you can present your data. So this is, if the Atomic Safety and Licensing Board accepts this case, it is possible that PG&E will run for cover with their tail between their legs. Let's just hope.
That's one angle that we're working on. What else do we have on an economic basis to shut Diablo Canyon?
Well, the once-through cooling is a huge economic issue,
mm-hmm.
having to build the cooling towers.
Because that's up to $4 billion in expenses. Plus, they would have to do just like San Onofre did. They would have to shut down the reactors and buy replacement power for that 6.5% that they're putting into the grid that people have bought. So there is a couple of pincher points right there. And I think that we have to build public pressure and awareness of the seismic vulnerability of that plant and emphasize that enough so that there's mounting public pressure and resolutions on the city and county level to protect people from that potential Fukushima. It's also in a tsunami zone, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Plus, there was a very incriminating tsunami report that was written, and it isn't about a tsunami coming in like from the northwest or something like that. What it is about the undersea geography near Diablo Canyon. It has many big cliffs near Diablo Canyon. And the tsunami report said that there is a very strong likelihood that there could be an underwater landslide near Diablo Canyon, which would set off a localized tsunami that would be high enough to wipe out all of the backup safety equipment, clog the water intake, and potentially, if they only have backup power long enough to last for 8 hours with their batteries. So they have to get backup power back in there within 8 hours in order, if those batteries work and all that, and if they're not destroyed by the tsunami. So there's that.
Now,
of course,
to follow up what Linda was saying, that many people don't realize that nuclear power plants require off-site power. They don't supply their own power for the cooling pools, which are necessary to keep the tons and tons of radioactive waste cool enough not to blow up.
So, in addition to the reactor core.
In addition to the reactors, yeah. So as it's like a Fukushima in California waiting to happen, as the Fukushima, the ongoing disaster at Fukushima shows, this is not just a local or a national issue. It's a global issue because fallout is no respecter of boundaries and national delineations on the map. It floats all over and eventually goes in both hemispheres. So nuclear power is a risk to life on Earth, period, and we have to shut it down wherever it occurs.
Yes, we're talking with Jim Heddle and Mary Beth Brankin of Eon Films in Bolinas, California, and Linda Seeley from the Mothers for Peace in San Luis Obispo, California. We are this show is in prologue to a major statewide, actually national conference in San Luis Obispo this coming weekend to plot strategy for the shutdown of the two reactors at Diablo Canyon. What else do we have going for us in terms of strategies to force the shutdown of this plant? One thing that worked and was very important at San Onofre appears to have been the campaign in cities, towns, and counties to get resolutions against San Onofre. Is there a parallel campaign being planned around Diablo Canyon?
Oh, yeah. I already mentioned that, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, we can definitely discuss that at the conference, and there's already been the first resolution of that kind passed a couple of years ago in Berkeley. And by the way, Harvey, we're the Ecological Options Network, Eon, not
yes.
Eon Films. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
go ahead.
I think that Santa Barbara, which is within, 90 miles of
yeah.
San Onofre, it's a wonder... Diablo Canyon, thank you, is very... vulnerable to whatever happens, and that is a very densely populated area there compared to the more rural area in San Onofre County. What is the county that Diablo Canyon is in?
San Luis Obispo County.
San Luis Obispo County.
Yeah, we have a population of 285,000.
But there's a lot of growing, a lot of wineries, and a lot of strawberry production and avocado production there. So where it's not densely populated, it is a food-producing and wine-producing area.
And there are already routine emissions just in normal operation from that plant, which are having health effects on the local and regional population.
According to
a study by the World Business Academy, which has been attacked, of course, as all such studies are, but there's no doubt, history and science have no doubt that routine emissions occur from all nuclear power plants, and there's no safe dose from nuclear radiation.
Right. Yeah. Are there any other... aspects that there are several other legal actions in the works, are there not, Linda?
Well, yes. Mothers for Peace, of course, is opposing the license renewal of Diablo Canyon, which PG&E applied for actually 15 years before the license was due to run out. Now, if I applied for my driver's license 15 years before it was ready to expire, I don't think they would allow me to do it. Do you, Harvey?
No. You also have, you're working with A4NR also, Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility. Is that correct on that issue?
That's right. And Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility works on issues at the PUC, at the California Public Utilities Commission, and the California Energy Commission. And they're trying to put pressure, showing that we can provide the power that we need in California completely from renewable resources. We do not need to keep making this tremendously toxic nuclear waste that has nowhere to go. There is nowhere to put this waste. We've got 2,200 metric tons of it sitting on the intersection of 13 earthquake faults at Diablo Canyon, and they have no idea what they're going to do with it, and it's going to be toxic for the next couple hundred thousand years. And the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is so irresponsible that they allow it to keep being made in the face of the knowledge that there's nowhere to put it, there is no safe storage, there is nowhere in the whole world that they have learned how to take care of this mess of nuclear power, and yet they allow it to continue. It's absolutely immoral, it should be illegal, and they all ought to be in jail.
There's another aspect to this that we're just now discovering, and that is that the canisters that are supposedly holding this waste have the characteristics that are required to have cracks through them, and it appeared after 2 years only on the canisters in Diablo Canyon. That means that if they were able to test them and to check them adequately, which they aren't because of the way that they're designed, it's so sloppily designed, it's quite possible that they are already leaking from the...
You know...
Yes. Go ahead.
San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace, in 1973, when they were starting Diablo Canyon, we challenged them. It was one of our original challenges. We said, what are you going to do with the waste after it's done? And they said to us, don't worry about it. We will have a place to put it once a place is needed. We've continued to ask them that question over and over and over again throughout the years. And they were supposed to have what's called a repository, a long-term repository at Yucca Mountain. But then they discovered, thank God, before they started putting nuclear waste in there, that Yucca Mountain is a porous kind of material. It's in Nevada. It's this porous material that allows water to seep through it, and it drains out into the Colorado River Basin, which goes into a whole greater Los Angeles Basin, which would cause the irradiation of the entire southwest coast of the United States if they had built that. But now there's nowhere to put it. And so they're saying, oh, well, there's nowhere to put it. Then we'll just keep it right where it is, and it'll be fine there. And then, as you've just heard Mary Beth say, now that we find that these canisters that they're putting it in are cracking. And they're,
right,
they're,
and this has only become a major issue.
They're only a quarter of an inch thick, Harvey.
5/8.
Well, this has become, of course, a major issue at San Onofre. Donna Gilmore and others are leading the charge to try to get at least somewhat reasonable casks in place to take the waste. We're also talking possibility at San Luis Obispo and shutting Diablo Canyon through a potential referendum process. There are a couple of referenda potential topics that have been put forward, like a feed-in tariff, which would have a huge impact on the economics of the energy situation in California, and also the water issue. You know, the law now in California is different. You can actually force the legislature to contemplate your petition drive once you have a quarter of the necessary petitions, which is an interesting dimension that I'm sure we'll discuss. Yes, petition signatures. So what we're looking at here, and let's reiterate, this weekend in San Luis Obispo, California, it's called a statewide conference, but really it's going to impact the entire United States. If you can imagine what would have happened if Fukushima had occurred at the Abo site, that radiation would have been pouring all over the country. As it is, it's coming across the Pacific from Fukushima. And Jim, as you mentioned, there will be information and a program at this conference about Fukushima. So tell us again, there's a gathering Friday night and then all day Saturday and Sunday. So where is the gathering Friday night in San Luis Obispo?
And people can find out this information directly on the site, which is nonukesca.net. That's nonukesca.net. There's extensive video and historical material there as well.
And Linda Sui, what is the street address in SOO? It's for Friday.
Friday night, 995 Palm Street, the City County Library conference room or multi-purpose room. Mm-hmm. And we have two great bands who are playing. We have Harvey Wasserman, who is going to be the speaker and MC. And you've invited people with some of the people who have lots of experience at Diablo to come and share their stories too. Right, Harvey?
Absolutely. And then Saturday, it's all day in the Grange at
right.
San Luis Obispo.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday back at the library.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. And then Tuesday night in San Francisco, we will have a gathering at 2:15, I believe it is. Golden Gate is at the address at the local unit, local 2 of the Unite Union, a big hall there. And from 6 to 9, we'll be discussing strategies and ways again to shut Diablo. And Paul Geip will be there again, along with Dennis Bernstein of KPFA and Larry Fawn, the former president of the Sierra Club, and Cynthia Papermaster of Code Pink, and Linda Seeley will also be there along with you, Jim, and Mary Beth. So it's going to be another big organizing meeting. These are not speeches or pontifications. These are business meetings to get to the serious work of shutting down the Diablo Canyon reactors before they shut us. And this is a national issue. We're looking, hopefully, to coordinate with people around the country where shutdowns are occurring, most importantly now at Turkey Point, Florida, where they are discussing cooling towers in New York at Indian Point, where cooling towers have also become an issue. And in upstate New York, the Jenna nuke, hopefully under pressure, and then 5 reactors in Illinois, where the owners are going in and demanding subsidies to keep operating these reactors, as they are in Ohio, for the Davis-Bessey reactor, which is essentially being held together by baling wire and duct tape, and they have the absolute gall to go in and ask for $3 billion to keep operating that thing. So,
I think when you hear this litany of ridiculous insanity, one thinks, why are these continuing? Economically, it doesn't make sense. It certainly doesn't make sense environmentally. No one wants it. Nothing can be done with the waste. So why do they continue?
Well, what makes sense, Mary Beth, is if you are an owner of a huge corporation like First Energy or PG&E, and you have no liability whatsoever, as protected by federal law, for the utter destruction of the earth and the people downwind from your nuclear plant, but you can continue to gouge money out of the public to keep it operating, then that's what you're going to do.
Well, I was going to say the reason that the government backs them in that way is because of the linkage to the weapons industry, mm-hmm. and the linkage to the military and nuclear weapons, and that is the key that everybody has to understand. That's why the...
Okay. So I am optimistic that we are going to... We're down to our last few minutes here. I am optimistic that we will come out of this conference with a number of tracks that will have the possibility of shutting the 2 reactors at Diablo. I mean, that's basically the hope. We are not going to be trying to get consensus so that everybody will go out there and do the same thing. We're not even going to try everybody to agree on the same thing. The last time I was in a meeting like that was in 1977. We had 300 people in a room to agree consensually on a civil disobedience action at Seabrook. It took 13 hours, and we finally did it. And then the action actually completely changed. So hopefully this time everybody's a little older and wiser. not sadder, though, and we will come up with a strategy. I'm going to see what you want to kick something in before Pete starts to sing again.
Just tons of thanks to you, Harvey, for doing the work that you do, and so glad that we're going to see you on Friday. Have a safe trip.
Let's hope United Airlines does its part, and I will carpet bag my way into California. I am moving to California to protect my two grandsons in the Los Angeles area, so this is a prologue to that. Jim and Mary Beth, tell us a little more and fill us in. We're really down to the last seconds here.
People can find out more about this issue by going to our YouTube website. That's youtube.com/eon3, and they can find out more about our upcoming documentary on this process of shutdown by going to shutdowndoc.tv.
And also to the event website, which is nonukesca4california.net.
Okay.
We'll see you in St. Louis.
And see you in St. Louis. There you go. And see you in San Francisco on Tuesday night, 6 to 9 at the Unite Hall 215 Golden Gate. For those of you around the country, we are hopefully going to be able to report, and I will talk about this conference next week on the show upcoming to give you a full report, because this is going to impact all the other nuclear plants in the United States, and hopefully we will prevent a meltdown at the Avril. Thank you all so much. Thank you, team in New York.
Thank you, Harv. Bye-bye.
From what we conceived, either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.